this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, everyone. This is Bahati Mutisia for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazine. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Teen Vogue and Vogue Magazine. In honor of Black History Month, I'm going to dedicate this episode to Black joy, Black history, and Black icons. Our first article today is titled, Black History Month and the Celebration of Black Joy. We hear stories of struggle all the time. In February, let's uplift stories of celebration. This article is by A. Roshan Meadows Fernandez, and it was published back in February 28th, 2020. I can't pinpoint the exact moment the world first informed me that Black women were supposed to move through life with suffering and pain. Growing up, most of the depictions of Blackness I saw around me were in the context of struggle. On the rare occasion I saw Black people who weren't struggling, there was an underlying suggestion that my family, my mom, my brother, and I shared responsibility for the barriers that limited us. I'm not fighting the same exact battles as my parents or my grandparents, but I see the struggle of Black people, especially Black women, everywhere. The methods have changed, but the message remains the same. Discrimination and racism are still robbing us of our lives and jobs, though often they're cloaked under colorblindness. And that old society that sought to reduce humans to profit potential is certainly alive and thriving. During Black History Month, we hear aspects of this story and highlight the sacrifices of Black Americans. There are, of course, stories worth telling, and Black History Month is a wonderful tool to tell the undertold story of the Black American experience. It's especially useful when it's dynamic and includes Black women, Black queer folks, and those who challenge the effectiveness of loving your way out of a system, out of systemic bondage. But there's something missing from the narrative. Until we learn to uplift the humanity and diversity of Blackness, we're not using it to its full potential. What better way to use Black History Month than as practice for creating a world that demands displays of Black joy and pleasure year-round? We glorify Lizzo and Beyoncé for their vulnerability and self-love, but we should also celebrate the other Black women, including our everyday sisters, who inspire us to move toward joy. And is there any joy that feels better than seeing our experiences reflected in a way that keeps us healthy and safe? Let's sing the praises of Black scholars like Jamie Slaughter Acey, PhD and MPH, and organizations like Black Mamas Matter, which are working hard to shed light on Black women's experiences by making sure we're reflected in data and research. You know who else is worthy of praise? Actresses and comedians like Lupita Nyong'o and Issa Rae, who add to the diversity we experience on screen and help us laugh through the pain of being woke Black folks in a white world. Thankfully, we have Adrienne Marie Brown, who is committed to Black liberation and preaches the gospels of pleasure activism in a way that makes me want a life that feels good. I want us to feel pleasure in all areas, but especially sexually. False narratives of the hypersexuality of Black women were created by white men searching for excuses to violate and control our bodies. These lies have robbed us of our humanity as well as our ability to live happy sexual lives. We must take them back. I'm thinking about our mental health. I'm grateful for efforts of Joy Harden Bradford, whose work to increase Black women's access to mental health professionals that understand us without translation through Therapy for Black Girls, and whose podcast is helping me secure the tools for dialogue on mental health in the interim. Our mental health impacts our capacity to love our families and children. I've read enough headlines about dysfunctional black families. I want to see us intact, surviving, thriving, and giving our children the love that they deserve, as so many of us do. My heart sings at the headline about the Wade Union family and how they are doing what parents are called to do by loving their daughter Zaya unapologetically in all that she is. I believe in the importance of joy-filled families so vehemently that I started Free Black Motherhood in hopes of increasing the representation of joyful black moms online. Joyful mothers raise joyful children. I hope to see more videos of little unkempt black girls dancing on my timeline. They are robbed of their childhood so often, many folks don't know what a joyful black girl looks like. Let's show them the connection between self-love and joy. I'm tired of the way we criticize ourselves in proximity to whiteness and maleness. I want to see us loving the diversity of our skin tones, our hair texture, and our features, even if the rest of the world doesn't appreciate them. Through the process, I'm learning that joy-filled resistance is interwoven within my DNA. And from there forward, I'm using my Black History Months to find it. The next article from Teen Vogue is titled, Black Women in History, 12 Icons Who Changed the United States. Get to know these names. This article is by Molly Longman, and it was published February 4th of 2021. When you think of strong black female role models to look up to, your mind might automatically wander to Michelle Obama, Serena Williams, or Beyoncé. But these contemporary icons are far from the first influential black women in history who made lasting changes in the United States. The groundbreaking firsts stretch back centuries beyond Rosa Parks and Katherine Johnson, one of the mathematicians for NASA who had a hand in sending Americans to space for the first time. It's important to remember these women and how they made society what it is today, during Black History Month and all year round. One can tell a great deal about a people, about a nation, by what it deems important enough to remember. As Lonnie Bunch, founding director of the Smithsonian's National Museum of African American History and Culture, wrote in The Guardian. Nadia Valentine, a former broadcasting major at Drake University, emphasized the importance of remembering significant black figures from the past in an interview with Teen Vogue. To see these people contribute to a blooming society is so important, she said. Nadia, who is black, said her mother, who is white, used to ask her to spend time looking up influential black historical figures after school during every Black History Month. At the time, Nadia might have preferred to play outside, but she says she's grateful to her mom because it helped her realize all the things she had the potential to create. It's looking back at these people who've contributed so much to American society that goes overlooked, she said. We're completely overlooking contributions made by people who were disenfranchised for hundreds and hundreds of years and who are still disenfranchised. That's why, she said, it's so important to remember how black women shaped the world we live in, whether we're crafting laws in Congress or just inventing better ways to brush your hair. Here are 12 black women whose advancements transformed history. Mary McLeod Bethune. Mary McLeod Bethune knew that education was key, but she also knew it was difficult for young black children to achieve, particularly in the segregated South. After struggling to go to school and working on a plantation to help support her family, she became an educator, and in 1904 founded the Daytona Educational and Industrial Institute for Girls, according to PBS. And she didn't stop there. Her educational activism and leadership set her up to be a political activist. She went on to found the National Council of Negro Women and worked in Franklin D. Roosevelt's administration, where she served as the informal race leader at large. Claudette Colvin. Though we've all heard the story of Rosa Parks refusing to give up her seat on the bus in Montgomery, Alabama, most of us don't know that Colvin did the same thing 9 months before Parks did. She was only 15 at the time and was one of the first black activists to openly challenge the law. As she told Teen Vogue in a 2017 interview, the whole movement was about young people saying, "We want more from America." Madam C.J. Walker. Before Mary Kay, there was Madam C.J. Walker. Walker is wildly regarded as one of the first ever self-made American female millionaires. She created hair care solutions and remedies with black women in mind and sold them door to door. She eventually created a brand people recognized, wildly manufactured her products, and hired 40,000 ambassadors since the company's inception to help her sell her products, according to Mike. Lita D. Newman. Like Walker, Newman gravitated toward a career involving the hair care industry. Newman got a patent for her invention, the first synthetic hairbrush, in 1898. Her innovation allowed for easier access to the bristles in order to clean out the brush. In addition, she introduced synthetic bristles. Before her invention, brushes used animal hair, such as a boar's hair. Her invention made brushing long locks a more hygienic process. Ruby Bridges. Bridges proved that you don't have to be an adult to change history. Her activism started at just 6 years old. In 1960, she was the first black child to racially integrate an all-white elementary school in the South. On her first day at school at William France Elementary School in Louisiana, she had to be escorted through an angry crowd of white parents and students by four federal marshals. Fannie Lou Hamer. Hamer was a civil rights activist from Mississippi who fought for African Americans' right to vote, often helping them to register. She worked with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee for a time, fighting against racial segregation and violent voter suppression in the South. She was also one of the founders of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party. Marsha P. Johnson. Johnson was a black transgender woman and activist, most known for her involvement with the Stonewall Inn riots, a 1969 uprising against police brutality by New York City's LGBTQ community. At the time, it was illegal to serve openly LGBTQ people alcohol or for them to dance with one another. Raids at bars occurred regularly. In the summer of 1969, police officers clashed with patrons at Manhattan's Stonewall Inn, but they fought back, leading to days of demonstrations that kicked off the LGBT movement as we know it today. The actual identity of who threw the first brick is still debatable, but some people credit Johnson as the person who may have been the one to do it. Johnson really started it that night, according to David Carter's 2004 book, Stonewall, The Riots That Sparked the Gay Revolution. Johnson went on to become a prominent voice in the fight for LGBTQ equality and was an activist during the 1980s AIDS epidemic, according to Mike. Audre Lorde. This lesbian black female poet's 1973 collection, From a Land Where Other People Live, was nominated for a National Book Award and increased America's awareness of intersectionality, or the convergence of race, gender, and class, that can put particular groups at a disadvantage or lead to discrimination. Laura's identity shaped her speeches and writings about the struggles of women, black people, and the LGBTQ community, according to the publication Mike. Shirley Chisholm. Chisholm made history by being the first black woman elected to Congress in 1968. She served as a representative from New York for 14 years, advocating for early education and child welfare policies. She eventually ran for president as a Democrat in the 1972 race, becoming the first black candidate to run for a major party nomination. Chisholm's infamous campaign slogan was "Unbought and Unbossed." She was also one of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus in 1971, as well as the Congressional Women's Caucus in 1977. Mae Jemison. Jemison made out-of-this-world progress for black women. In 1992, she became the first black woman to fly to space on the space shuttle Endeavour. She was also the first black woman admitted to the astronaut training program in 1987. Octavia Butler. Thanks to Donald Trump, Americans have heard the phrase "Make America Great Again" more times than the Pledge of Allegiance. But sci-fi novelist Octavia Butler utilized the slogan, like drawing on Reagan's 1980 campaign message, "Let's Make America Great Again," almost 20 years before Trump, in her 1998 book, Parable of the Talents, according to Fusion. The dystopian novel depicts a future United States in which slavery has been reintroduced and a fundamental Christian sect has taken control, systematically purging the country of non-Christian faiths. Butler, who was also an award-winning black writer, the first science fiction writer to be awarded the MacArthur Fellowship, also known as the Genius Grant, among other awards, the New York Times reported. And finally, Michelle Obama. What would the list be without Michelle? Of her many accomplishments, Obama was the first black woman to serve as the First Lady of the United States and is an accomplished lawyer who attended both Princeton University and Harvard Law School. She's held high-profile roles at the University of Chicago Medical Center and launched a number of efforts advocating for childhood health. Our next article is from Vogue magazine, and this is on the late Cicely Tyson, who passed recently. This article is by Stuart Emrich. It was published January 29th, 2021, and the title is "Cicely Tyson, Pioneering Actor with a Powerful Presence, Dies at the Age of 96. Cicely Tyson, a groundbreaking actor who brought grace, intelligence, and a powerful honesty to her varied performances over a nearly eight-decade career, including her Oscar-nominated role as a sharecropper's wife in Sounder and her Emmy-winning performance as the title character in The Autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman, died Thursday at the age of 96. I have managed Miss Tyson's career for over 40 years, and each year was a privilege and a blessing, her manager, Larry Thompson, said in a statement announcing her death. Tyson was an actress who seemed to effortlessly conquer every medium she embraced. Nominated for an Oscar in one of her first starring roles, and just the third black woman to be nominated for an Oscar in the lead actress category, winning three Emmys over a two-decade span, and then a Tony Award in 2013 at the age of 88. In 2018, she was awarded an honorary Oscar, the first black woman to be so recognized. Tyson made her film debut with a small role in 1957's 12 Angry Men, and then appeared in a larger role in the 1959 Sidney Poitier film Odds Against Tomorrow, followed by appearances in The Comedians, The Last Angry Man, A Man Called Adam, and The Heart is a Lonely Hunter. According to Variety, Tyson then took a break from the movies, refusing to participate in the blaxploitation movies that became popular in the late 60s, and waited until 1972 to return to the screen in the Martin Ritt drama Sounder, which earned Oscar nominations for her and her co-star, Paul Winfield. Tyson, along with her fellow black nominee Diana Ross, lost out to Liza Minnelli. Winfield lost to Marlon Brando. It was a stunning, heart-rending performance. The mother is played by Cicely Tyson, and it is wonderful to see the subtleties in her performance, wrote this critic Roger Ebert. We have seen her with her family, and we know her strengths and intelligence. Then we see her dealing with the white power structure and her behavior towards it in a style born of cynicism and necessity. She will say what they want to hear in order to get what she wants to get. The story in Sounder is a part of our history, a testimony to the strength of humankind, Tyson told the New York Times after receiving her Oscar nomination. Our whole black heritage is that of struggle, pride, and dignity. The black woman has never been shown in the screen this way before. If Sounder brought Tyson acclaim, 1974's The Autobiography of Miss Jane Pittman brought her stardom. The performance was an astonishing tour de force. Tyson played a woman who ages from 23 to 110, reaching from the 1850s to the Civil Rights era, and it brought her the first of her three Emmys. She was the first African-American woman to win an Emmy in the lead actress category. Cicely Tyson transforms that role into the kind of event for which awards are made, the television critic John J. O'Connor wrote in the New York Times. She absorbs herself completely into Miss Jane, in the process creating a marvelous blend of sly humor, shrewd perceptions, and innate dignity. In 1994, she won a second Emmy for her supporting actress role in Oldest Living Confederate Widow Tells All. Her other Emmy nominations include one for supporting actress in the groundbreaking miniseries Roots, and five nods for a guest starring role in Shonda Rhimes' How to Get Away with Murder, which is one of my favorite shows. In 2016, President Barack Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the nation's highest civilian honor. President Obama was one of the many celebrities who posted tributes to Tyson on Thursday night and Friday morning. His tweet reads, "In her extraordinary career, Cicely Tyson was one of the rare award-winning actors whose work on the screen was surpassed only by what she was able to accomplish off of it. She had a heart unlike any other, and for 96 years, she left a mark on the world that few will ever match." Another kind of fame came from her long and turbulent relationship with the jazz musician Miles Davis. In her recently published memoirs, Just As I Am, Tyson writes that although many people wondered how a church girl and a drug addict could ever possibly fit together, she knew he needed someone to save him from himself, and she needed someone to save. The two divorced in 1989, 2 years before Davis's death. Tyson, who had begun her work in the theater, appeared in the original 1961 off-Broadway production of Jean Genet's The Blacks. She returned to the stage in 2013 at the age of 88 to star in the rival of Horton Foote's The Trip to Bountiful. Almost every night, Tyson stopped the show with a rousing performance of the hymn Blessed Assurance, often with the audience joining in. I didn't realize they were doing it until someone remarked to me how incredible it was that the audience was joining in, Tyson said in an interview with the New York Times. I said, where? I was so focused on what I was doing, I didn't hear it. The performance brought her the Tony Award for Leading Actress that year, the first in her long career, and it made her the oldest person to ever win a Tony. It's been 30 years since I have been on stage, she said in her acceptance speech. I really didn't think it would happen again in my lifetime, and I was pretty comfortable with that, except that I had this burning desire to do just one more. One more great role, I said. I didn't want to be greedy. I just wanted one more. Recently, in an interview with The Times to promote her recently published memoir, she was asked if she was scared of death. I'm not scared of death. I don't know what it is, she replied. How could I be afraid of something I don't know anything about? Well, Cicely Tyson was surely an icon and an inspiration to many, and I'm in the middle of listening to her memoirs on Audible. If you get a chance to listen to them, I would highly recommend them. Her story is a beautiful one and very inspirational. So we're coming to a close for today's episode. Hope that you have enjoyed it. Hope you get an opportunity to learn more about historic Black icons this Black History Month. I hope that today's episode shed some light on some names that are not spoken of as often. I wanted to focus on some names that maybe we haven't heard of before, and I'll try to do a good job of adding more names to that list with this program. I think Teen Vogue does a great job with this OG history series of telling important stories in American history that are not often told or not told with important information included. So I hope that you all enjoy that. Well, be sure to tune in next time. We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode. I'm Bahati Mutisia, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.